This podcast is supported by The Real Real.
You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail?
Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
December 4th, 2025. 6:30 p.m. Delhi's Palam Airport. A massive Russian Ilyushin 96 aircraft touches down on Indian soil. Inside sits a man with an International Criminal Court arrest warrant hanging over his head. A man who barely leaves Russia anymore. A man the West has tried to isolate for 3 years. Vladimir Putin. On the tarmac waiting for him, not some junior official, not a protocol officer, the Prime Minister of India himself, Sri Narendra Modi. And then something unusual happened. Protocol was broken. Instead of separate motorcades, instead of official vehicles, instead of the armored presidential limousine that Putin travels in everywhere, both leaders got into the same car. Not just any car. A white Toyota Fortuner with a Maharashtra registration number. Think about that for a second. The president of Russia, a man America has tried everything to isolate, sitting shoulder to shoulder with India's prime minister, driving through Delhi. Now, this wasn't just a greeting. This wasn't just diplomacy. This was a message broadcasted to the entire world, to Washington, to Brussels, to Beijing, to everyone who's watching. We are friends, we stand together, and we don't care who's watching.
You're listening to Nelson John 360.
Nelson John 360.
Hey friends, welcome back to another episode of Nelson John 360. I'm your host, Nelson John. And today, we're going to dive deep into what might be the most important diplomatic visit of 2025. Putin in India. Over the next 30 minutes or so, I'm going to break down why this visit is happening now. Why India needs Russia more than ever. Why Russia needs India even more. What deals are being signed. And what this means for America's dominance. And the uncomfortable questions nobody wants to ask. This episode is going to change how you see India's place in the world. Let's get started. To understand why this visit matters, you need to understand the context. Because the world in December 2025 looks very different from what anyone predicted. Let me paint the picture for you. The India-Pakistan War, May 2025. Just 7 months ago, India was at war. On April 22, 2025, terrorists from Pakistan attacked Pahalgam in Kashmir. 26 tourists were killed. India blamed Pakistan. And on May 7th, India launched Operation Sindoor. Now, what followed was 4 days of the most intense India-Pakistan combat since 1971. Fighter jets clashing, cruise missiles flying, drone swarms, artillery exchanges along the entire line of control. More than 50 people died. Both sides targeted each other's air bases. It was being called the first drone war between nuclear-armed neighbors. And here's where Russia enters the story. Remember those S-400 missile defense systems India bought from Russia? The ones America threatened to sanction us for? The ones everyone said were a waste of money? They worked. India's Air Force Chief Marshal AP Singh said publicly, and I quote, "The S-400 achieved the largest ever recorded surface-to-air kill." Pakistan launched missiles at Jammu. 8 of them, the S-400, intercepted all 8. Pakistan sent 300 to 400 drones at India. Turkish-made Songar drones targeting 36 sites. The S-400, along with our other air defense systems, shot them down. The weapons America told us not to buy saved Indian lives. So when Putin arrives in India today, he's not just arriving as a friend. He's arriving as the man whose weapons just helped India survive its biggest military test in decades. But that's only half of the context. The other half, America. Remember when Modi and Trump were supposed to be best friends? Those hugs at Howdy Modi, the Namaste Trump rally? Yeah, that's over. In August 2025, Trump slapped 50% tariffs on Indian goods. Repeating that, 50%, yes. Now, half of that, 25%, was a direct penalty for India buying Russian oil. Trump literally said, India is fueling Russia's war machine and needs to be punished. Now, here's the irony. Back in 2022, when Russia invaded Ukraine, you know who encouraged India to buy Russian oil? Take a wild guess. Do you know who? America. The Biden administration wanted someone to keep buying Russian oil so global prices wouldn't spike. Europe was cutting Russia off. Someone needed to pick up the slack. Eric Garcet, the American ambassador to India under Biden, said publicly, "They bought Russian oil because we wanted somebody to buy Russian oil. India did what America asked, and now Trump is punishing India for it." India is a great power, not a British colony, and everyone will have to accept that. So those were the words of Putin before arriving in India. And honestly, a lot of Indians agree with him. And one more piece of context. The visit marks 25 years of the India-Russia strategic partnership. What I mean by that is, it started in 2000, Putin's first year in office. Since then, India and Russia have held annual summits. The Indian PM visits Russia once a year. The Russian president visits India the next. But that tradition was broken in 2022 and 2023 because of the Ukraine war. Putin wasn't traveling. The ICC warrant made things complicated. This is Putin's first visit to India in 4 years. And the fact that he's traveling here, despite the ICC warrant, despite barely leaving Russia, it tells you something. India matters to Russia more than almost anywhere else in the world. All right, let's look into the meat of this. Why does India need Russia? There are three massive reasons. I see defense, energy, and strategic autonomy. Now, reason one, defense dependency. Let me give you a number that will blow your mind. 60% of India's military equipment is Russian. 60%. Our tanks, the T-90s, they're Russian. Our fighter jets, Sukhoi 30 MKIs, make up most of the majority of our 29 fighter squadrons. They're Russian. Our submarines, our helicopters, our missiles, our air defense systems. If India loses access to Russian spare parts tomorrow, our military doesn't just weaken, it stops functioning. And this isn't because India hasn't tried to diversify. We have. In 2010, Russia supplied 72% of India's weapons imports. By 2024, that dropped to just 36%. We're buying more from America, France, Israel. But here's the thing. You can't just swap out an entire military ecosystem overnight. The jets we fly today, well, the tanks we operate today, well, the systems we rely on today, well, they're all Russian. India's Defense Secretary, Rajesh Kumar Singh, said it plainly last week, and I quote him, "India does not plan to freeze defense ties with Moscow anytime soon, as it requires continued support for the many Russian systems it operates." Now, remember, we just saw what Russian weapons can do in May. The S-400 proved its worth against Pakistan. India's Air Force chief called it a game changer. In fact, the S-400 reportedly shot down a Pakistani early warning aircraft at 314 kilometers range. That's almost 200 miles away and deep in Pakistan. Now, Western media spent years saying the S-400 was overrated. Ukraine war coverage made it seem like Russian weapons don't work. India's experience in May told a completely different story. Now, also what you need to know is Russia isn't stopping at just the S-400s. During Putin's visit, Russia is putting two massive deals on the table. First, the Su-57. This is Russia's fifth-generation stealth fighter. The Kremlin spokesperson, Dmitry Peskov, called it the world's finest aircraft. Now, you might remember India actually pulled out of co-developing this plane back in 2018 because of cost issues and technology transfer problems. But at the Dubai show last month, Russia made what officials are calling their most significant military proposal to India in years. Full licensed production of the Su-57 in India, unrestricted technology transfer, engines, sensors, stealth materials, avionics, the entire fifth generation ecosystem. Think about it. No Western country has ever offered India this level of access. And the price? Reports say the base cost is as low as $45 million per aircraft. Now, when you compare that to the F-35s, $80 to $100 million. Now, second, the S-500. If the S-400 was impressive, the S-500 is in a different league altogether. It can intercept hypersonic missiles, ballistic missiles, even low-orbit satellites. Think about it. With the S-500, every corner of Pakistan would be within India's defense umbrella. Discussions on the S-500 are expected during Putin's visit. It could be a game changer. All right, enough of the defense. Let's talk about energy. Let's talk about oil. Before the Ukraine war, India bought almost zero oil from Russia, less than 1% of our imports. Today, Russia supplies 35 to 40% of India's oil. That's a 2,250% increase. 2,250%. Why? Because Russian oil is cheap. After Western sanctions, Russia couldn't sell it to its traditional European buyers. They had to offer massive discounts to find new customers. India said, "We'll take it." And we saved approximately $13 billion. Now, that's the money that would have gone to Saudi Arabia or the UAE. Instead, it stayed in Indian pockets. Now, Trump is punishing us for that. But from India's perspective, we have 1.4 billion people. We have poor families who need affordable cooking fuel. We have industries that need affordable energy. As one strategic analyst says, we have hundreds of millions of poor people. We need to raise them above the poverty line. To deal with that, India needs to maintain a decent working relationship with all powers. And it's hard to argue with that. So now this brings us to the biggest reason of all. strategic autonomy. Since India's independence in 1947, India has tried to avoid getting locked into alliances with any superpower. We led the non-alignment movement during the Cold War. We've always tried to keep relationships with everyone: Russia, America, Europe, China. It's not about being anti-Western or pro-Russian here. It's about being pro-India, what's right for India. Professor Harsh V. Pant from King's College London put it out perfectly. Quoting him, "For India, the optics is a statement of intent for strategic autonomy." Now, when Modi welcomes Putin while America is threatening us with tariffs, India is telling the world, we make our own decisions. We choose our own partners. We don't take orders from Washington. India will not calibrate its national security or energy security around the domestic politics of the United States. That's the message. And it's being heard loud and clear. All right, let's flip the script here. We've talked about why India needs Russia. But here is the most important part people don't realize. Russia might need India even more. Let's be honest about Russia's situation. 3 years into the Ukraine war, thousands of sanctions cut off from Western financial systems, cut off from Western technology, cut off from Western markets. Putin has an ICC arrest warrant. He barely travels anymore, and most of the world won't receive him. He skipped the G20 in India in 2023. He skipped the G20 in Brazil in 2024. This man is a pariah in the West. But India? India welcomes him with open arms. Guard of honor, state dinner, bear hug.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real.
You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, "I found it on The Real Real." Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail?
Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
Hugs on the tarmac? That's not just nice for Putin personally. That's a strategic message to the world. Professor Ranjan Kumar from JNU said it perfectly. President Putin can send a very strong message to his own people and also the international community that Russia is not isolated in the world. India is proof that Russia still has powerful friends, that the West hasn't succeeded in cutting Russia off from the global stage. But now, it's not just about the optics, okay? It's about cold, hard cash. Before the Ukraine war, India-Russia trade was around $10 billion a year. Today, it's almost $70 billion. Now, that's a 7x increase in 3 years. India is now the second largest buyer of Russian oil, behind only China. When Europe stopped buying Russian energy, India stepped in. When Western companies left Russia, Indian businesses saw opportunity. India has become one of Russia's most dependable lifelines. Now, there is a problem. Russia sells about $64 billion worth of stuff to India, and India only sells about $5 billion back. Now, there's a massive trade imbalance, right? And because India pays in rupees to avoid dollar sanctions, Russia has ended up with billions of rupees sitting in Indian banks. Rupees they can't easily convert. Rupees they can't easily spend. Now, this was the stuck rupee problem that made headlines in 2022-2023. However, the good news is that it's largely been solved. Sber Bank's India CEO recently said that the issue is a thing of the past. They figured out payment mechanisms using AI to process transactions in minutes. But Russia still wants India to buy more from them, not just oil, but other products, to balance things out. Putin himself said that India-Russia trade is at $63 billion is too low. Russia's trade with the tiny Belarus is $50 billion. And here's another problem that Russia is facing, and most people don't know. Russia is running out of workers. The Ukrainian war has drained their labor force. Young men at the front, others fleeing the country, aging population. Russia desperately needs workers. And guess who has the world's largest working age population? India. This visit will see the signing of a major labor mobility agreement. From just 10,000 Indians working in Russia a couple of years ago, there are now about 100,000 with about 25,000 students. The new agreement will create formal pathways for 70,000 more Indian workers in construction, textiles, engineering, electronics. India provides workers, Russia provides jobs and remittances. It's a deal that benefits both sides. However, there is one more thing. Russia's biggest partner right now is China. Their trade has exploded to over $220 billion. But Russia doesn't want to be completely dependent on Beijing. That will make them a junior partner in a very unequal relationship. Now, India gives Russia strategic balance. A major partner who isn't China. A friend who can help diversify Russia's dependencies. Russia's relationship with India is described as special and privileged, different from the no-limits partnership with China. India is one of those few places where Russia can feel like an equal partner, not a subordinate. All right, let's zoom out, because this visit isn't just about India and Russia. It's about the entire global order. For 75 years, America ran the world. The dollar was king. American alliances shaped global politics. Countries that defied Washington paid the price. But something is shifting. When India welcomed Putin despite America's warnings, when Modi hugged Putin despite 50% tariffs, India sent a strong message. America cannot dictate who we befriend. And India isn't alone. Saudi Arabia is talking to Russia and China. Brazil and South Africa maintain relations with Moscow. The entire global South is questioning why they should follow Western rules. One analyst put it this way. This summit demonstrates that multipolarity has matured. No single capital can dictate the choices of rising powers. And here's the really interesting part. De-dollarization. 90% of India-Russia trade now happens in rupees and rubles, not dollars, like I mentioned before, Indian rupees. Russia's first deputy prime minister confirmed this. Trade between two of the world's largest economies is happening completely outside the American financial system. Putin said at the BRICS summit, "The dollar is being used as a weapon. I think this is a big mistake by those who do this." Now, is the dollar going to collapse tomorrow? I believe no. 80% of the global trade still uses dollars. But the trend is clear. India and Russia are building payment systems that work without SWIFT. China is doing the same. BRICS, they're exploring alternatives. America's financial dominance, the ability to sanction anyone out of the global economy, well, it's being challenged. And this visit, it's another brick in that wall. Remember the scene from September? The Shanghai Cooperation Organization summit in Tianjin, China? Modi and Putin rode together in Putin's Russian-made limousine for almost an hour before the official meeting. At the photo op, Modi clasps Putin's hands, laughs. Putin grinned. Xi Jinping gave a measured smile. Indian TVs called it a big diplomatic win. One headline read, "Trump's dictator versus Modi-Putin's friendship." Now, three of the world's most powerful leaders, representing about 3 billion people, standing together while America watches from outside. You know the message. We may have differences, but we're not with Washington. But here's what makes India special. India is the only country that can sit at all the tables. Have you imagined that? We are in the Quad with America, Japan, and Australia. We are in BRICS with Russia, China, Brazil, South Africa. We are in the SEO with Russia and China. We negotiate trade deals with the EU while buying Russian oil. No other country has this position. China is locked in a rivalry with America. Russia is isolated from the West. Europe follows Washington. India stands alone, able to talk to everyone. And that's exactly how India wants it. All right, I've spent a lot of time explaining why this partnership makes a lot of sense to India. But I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't talk about the uncomfortable truths too. Because there are uncomfortable truths here. Let's start with Ukraine. Russia invaded a sovereign country in 2022. Tens of thousands of people have died, cities destroyed, millions displaced. And India has refused to condemn Russia. When Modi visited Moscow in July 2024, Russian missiles struck a children's hospital in Kyiv. 41 people died, including 4 children. That same day, Modi was hugging Putin. Ukrainian President Zelensky called it a huge disappointment and a devastating blow to peace efforts to see the leader of the world's largest democracy hugging the world's most bloody criminal. Look, I understand India's position. Strategic autonomy, non-alignment, our national interests. But we should also at least acknowledge the cost. Every barrel of Russian oil India buys generates revenue for Russia. About 30% of Russia's federal budget comes from oil and gas. Now, that money funds the missiles that strike Ukrainian cities. Does that make India complicit? Now, that's a moral question each person has to answer for themselves. But we shouldn't pretend the question doesn't exist. And here's something even darker. Indians are dying in Russia's war. I'm not kidding. Yes, not as tourists or bystanders, but by fighting for Russia. India's Ministry of External Affairs has confirmed that 44 Indian nationals were serving in the Russian army. Close to 170 Indians have been recruited by Russian military. 96 have been discharged, while 16 that are listed are missing. At least 4 Indians have died on the front lines. Now, how did this happen? Most were tricked. Recruiters promised them jobs in Russia, helpers in the army, drivers, cooks, great salaries, Russian citizenship. Instead, they were sent to the front lines. In November, dozens of families gathered in Delhi begging the government to bring back their sons and brothers back home. One man from Gujarat went to Russia to study computer engineering, and he was allegedly framed on drug charges and given a choice. Join the Russian army or go to prison. Wow. He was captured by Ukraine in October, the first Indian prisoner of war. Experts say Russia is using people from the Indian subcontinent as expendable soldiers, cannon fodder. This is happening while Modi hugs Putin. The new labor mobility agreement being signed this week, it meant to create formal channels for Indians to work in Russia, legally, with protections. But we have to acknowledge the shadow of Indians being tricked into combat hangs over this entire relationship. Also, there is one more uncomfortable truth. Strategic autonomy is absolutely great in theory, but it gets harder to maintain. Trump is demanding India to choose 50% tariffs until India stops buying Russian oil. The EU has started sanctioning Indian companies for trade with Russia. Every step closer to Moscow risks pushing America away. Every major Russian defense deal complicates US relations. Now, some analysts at the Chatham House say the India-Russia relationship is heading for managed decline. India is slowly reducing dependency while keeping the partnership alive. India now is walking a tightrope, and it's not clear how long we can keep our balance. So where does this leave us? Putin is in India right now, December 4th, having dinner with Modi at his residence. Tomorrow they'll sign deals worth potentially billions of dollars. So what does this mean for the average Indian? Russian oil keeps your petrol prices down. If India stops buying from Russia tomorrow, energy costs would spike. But American tariffs too also hurt. Indian exporters to the US are struggling with the 50% duties. Your grocery prices, your travel costs, your job security, all affected by this geopolitical dance. Now, the security angle. Like I mentioned before, Russian weapons defended India in May. The S-400, they work brilliantly. Our military runs on Russian equipment. If Putin strengthens this relationship with India, we get access to Su-57, the S-500, cutting-edge technology that no Western country will give us. Your family is safe. Our cities are safe. The future of conflicts, well, it depends on decisions being made this week. And for India, the picture is bigger. India has positioned itself as a leader of a changing world, not following Washington, not following Beijing, not following Moscow, leading on our own terms. That's ambitious, that's risky, but it's also unprecedented. India has never been in this position before. We've never had this much leverage, this much attention, these many choices. When Putin's plane takes off from Delhi tomorrow night, the world will be watching. What deals were signed? What promises were made? What does it mean for the India-US relationship? For the war in Ukraine? For global power dynamics? But here's the bottom line. Putin coming to India is not just a diplomatic visit. It's a statement that the old world order is cracking. It's proof that sanctions can be resisted, that American dominance can be challenged. The rising powers will make their own choices. Whether you're thinking that's good or bad probably depends on your worldview. But either way, it's happening, and India is at the center of it all. That's our show for today. If you found this episode valuable, here's what I need you to do. First, share this with somebody who cares about India's future. Send them the link. Post it on your socials. This is a conversation every Indian should be having. Second, please subscribe to Nelson John 360 on YouTube. Of course, you know, this podcast, please do hit that follow button. You know, hit that notification bell because I'll be dropping content every other day and you don't want to miss them. Third, if you feel too generous, please leave me a review on the podcast platform you're listening on. Also, you can connect with me on Instagram. Leave me a message. Drop me a comment. Tell me, do you think India should be this close to Russia? Is strategic autonomy working, or are we playing with fire? You know, I'll read every comment. I'll read every message. Let's have a conversation. I'm Nelson John. This is the Nelson John 360 podcast. Stay informed, stay curious, and I'll see you in the next one.